Okay, so again, my name's Ifthimi Parasides. This is Jared Bertados, one of my co-authors, Caleb DeRosiers, who couldn't come down here today. So basically, we come at it, we each bring a different perspective, right? So I have sort of a public health, legal perspective, policy perspective. Jared brings the medical informatics slash physician perspective. He has a master's from University of Utah, a medical informatics program, in addition to his MD. And then Caleb also, he worked at CMS for a while, so he has a good idea of, you know, public policy considerations. So essentially, again, just as a matter of disclosure, Jerry and I filed a patent, have a patent pending, and we created a startup company that basically has ownership rights to the patent. So, okay, I'll just put this whole up there since we really talked about it. So what really we're trying to do is to build off sort of 50 years of evolution of outcomes metrics, and really take it to the next level, right? So we want to say that what's been proposed and used so far, it can measure certain small aspects well in some instances, but it's a very crude measure in general in terms of gauging population, gauging outcomes, and addressing disparities across the country and even, again, like we mentioned before, within certain regions of a country. And again, we want to leverage the electronically available, you know, clinical data, economic data, humanistic data, which quality of life studies, things like that. So that's one aspect, right? What we do is actually create these measurements that could be used essentially for providers, for payers, for patients, patient advocacy groups to kind of gauge outcomes. And then what we also want to do is take those metrics, right? So once we assume that they've gone through a validation process and they're created through a transparent process, people understand what the number actually means. Sure.
Are these metrics that you're creating or are you using standard metrics?
No, this is something that we create. So I'll get a couple slides down to how we actually create sort of the algorithms that we use.
Yeah. The idea was that there actually not too many standard metrics.
So that's probably the aspect that's most interesting to someone like a CDC. The second component is we want to create financial derivative instruments based off the metrics. So that's something that we're gearing towards, you know, large pharma, big payers, maybe even the government, pension plans, things like that, who can hedge the risk or exposure to certain disease areas. So if you know, if a pharma company is developing some type of drug addressed towards asthma, right, and they've invested, you know, $500 million into this drug, they may want to hedge whether or not that's going to be successful, right, whether or not they're going to pass through the FDA approval process, et cetera. So this may be a way that they can actually do that. So we're building sort of off these other derivative instruments and how they're used on exchanges. And again, the goal of all of this is really just to help better manage the investments, right, where we're putting the money from the beginning, and also to gauge it at the end, right, so how well are investments matching up the outcomes. And hopefully all of this will reduce costs at the end of the day. So again, you know, the history, you probably know it just as well as I do, just sort of what's out there already, sort of there. You know, some are rather crude measurements. Milliman's cost index is a pretty good one, but again, it kind of dives down into certain areas. I think they have, you know, like outpatient care, they have a drug pricing index. And again, you know, that serves as a good model to help us, to help one component of our index, right, which is sort of the financial component. In terms of the humanistic index, sort of the health ways well-being index, again, rather decent way of measuring outcomes from a humanistic side. So again, we want to take it to another level, right? Make it a little bit more robust, a little bit more transparent, and get it more representative of the population, right, that you want to study. So that's one thing about the metric that we're proposing. It's not so much, well, there can be one that's sort of across the country, but it could also be one that, let's say, the state of, you know, Virginia wants to study how the expenditures through Medicaid, let's say, are going towards patients with asthma. So again, we want to just survey all those people in Virginia who are on Medicaid and get a better idea of what they're feeling and how they're doing. And again, the goal here is really to say, okay, look at a population for a particular disease and answer just a simple question. Are they better off today than they were last month, last quarter, last year? And that's really what drives everything that we're doing here. So this is sort of just a visual depiction of how it would work. You know, all of these, the data inputs are, you know, journal articles, clinical trial results, any sort of economic data that's available. And this, the last slide represents sort of, or this last little thing represents sort of the humanistic component of it. Then we run it through our algorithms, and we run it through what we do is we create a panel of experts. So we'll have key opinion leaders, sort of, you know, maybe a public health specialist, depending on what the index is for that state or region, and have them help us quantify, relatively speaking, how much weight do we give to the clinical aspect of this particular component, how much weight do we give to the humanistic component, and try to come up with a way that measures, again, that can help create an index for the population. So that's where we create actually the metric itself, so we'll measure the outcomes, and then the derivatives are based on the metric, like we talked about before. And again, depending on the target market is how we structure the index and really analyze the results, which is really the key part. So sort of some, like you said, some of the things that drive it, looking at clinical trial data, looking at adverse event reports, really just focusing on EMRs, and also I'm also working on, I'm on the board that's setting up the State Health Information Exchange for Missouri. So, you know, one of the things, you know, we're in kind of a middle stage, right? Every state's in a different level. So we're just trying to get all the providers on board and you know, outreach to the patients to help them, you know, realize this is a good thing for them. But the next step is really the secondary use, right? So it's really, you know, once this information is there, who can have access to it, who can mine it. The way Missouri is doing, it's interesting, right? So some states will have sort of one server, right? And everything goes into the server, and then you go to the server and get to pull the information out. Missouri is taking the model where it's more of a network provider. So the data is maintained by the provider, and you just kind of, you know, work your way through this, snake your way through it. So, and that's mostly for legal reasons. So again, we want to be able to use all that information because, again, it's just it's really just going to be an explosion of information that can be very helpful. So here's the modeling part, and this is where we really bring in the key opinion leaders. And I don't need to go through all the mumbo jumbo if it's not interesting to you. But essentially, what it comes down to is really just figuring out the economic, clinical, and humanistic components, right? What the actual data is going to be, and then assigning a weight to each one, right? So say, and this may even be 0, 100, 0, right? Depending on what we want to study, and this really is just a way to tailor it to the specific client, really, at the end of the day. Again, at the end of the day, sometimes there'll be more than one index, right? So sometimes it'll be the case that, let's say that a state will want to measure asthma in, children, right? And then they want to measure in, 18 to 25, and then 25 to 40. So we can create an index per age group, let's say, and say, here's asthma broken down by state for each particular component, and here it is all together for the state, right? So then you can gauge, well, for children, it seems like it's doing worse, let's say, than 18 to 25. So why is that? And then measure against that. And then again, at the end of the day, is creating these derivatives off those the indices. So here's just sort of a visual of some of the things that how we envision it to look. So, the top line can be anything that you want to study, really, at the end of the day. And again, each of the components, depending on how the client wants to look at the components, what actual data inputs that we're looking at, and what we do is we can, literally want to be able to break it down per component, per area. So this way we can really get granular information as to, okay, well, have the adverse events really gone up? What really is driving the change in outcomes? And that's really what this goes to represent. Stop me at any time if you have any questions. And Jared, if you want to add anything too, of course.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying before, ideally, if there were things being used, there were metrics being used already in healthcare that could be tracked over time, then we would want to use those. But the problem is that there hasn't been adoption of any regular metrics yet. So this proposal is basically saying, well, if we were to create metrics, this is roughly what they should look like. We would want to break it down into these three general components, because we feel like it gives a really broad sort of description of what's going on with the population of those diseases.
Okay. So, you could probably define it better than me.
The idea is each disease has symptoms that cause some kind of feelings within the patient, and those feelings affect their productivity, and they also...
Quality of life.
So quality of life is one general one, that's not reflecting the clinical or financial necessarily. But if they became more dependent and if they weren't able to function very well, then that would be, you know, one component that we want to regularly ask. And sometimes you can't ask the patient themselves. In the condition like Alzheimer's, you might want to ask the caretakers or the family, but essentially it's something that's reported with using patient-reported outcome of a validated instrument that could be, regularly tracked over time. And quality of productivity and then other symptoms. Each disease has their own.
Mm-hmm. And so would you define that for each disease? And what specific things are going to be fed into the model? Or?
Yeah, we would define it or we would take mm-hmm. literature that's been that's been published that basically reflects that.
How would this work relative to the outcome and process measures that are required for meaningful use? How would these fit? I mean, if somebody were to, after you finish developing this, and somebody were to, once you get it out into the marketplace, how would this instrument help somebody meet meaningful use criteria?
Well, the current meaningful use is really about the use of technology, right? So it's about meaningfully using technology in order to get the data. So this is a little bit different because this is a more epidemiologic view. Yeah, it's the next step.
Right, so it's closer to stage three probably than anything.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it would mean. I mean, a given provider reporting that they've given smoking cessation therapy and being able to document that and report on it, I mean, it wouldn't affect this, but the underlying databases that were collected could then be used knowing that they had a high validity themselves.
Right, so if stage three meaningful use, right, they're not even, who knows what the final definition is going to be, but if essentially it comes down to, taking your EMR system and using it to improve care, right, improve outcomes, and being able to document that, well, I think this is how it fits in. It's that last part. It's being able to document that your EMR system is able to improve care.
The clinical quality measures are trying to do that also. But you're right, those are more process-oriented.
Yeah, they're not really looking at epidemiologically at populations. They're just saying,
did you do this for your patient?
Yeah.
Right.
Did you do your job? Did you do average
right, so it's more like tracking best practices, right? Have you followed the best practices or the guidelines? Not are they working, right, at the end of the day. So here's a retrospective example of what this may look like at the end of the day. So this is an example from type 2 diabetes where we had a small data set that we looked at, and we literally tracked the index, and then what we want to do or we're able to do is overlay actually sort of the clinical, financial, and humanistic data with, policy events, right? So say, well, what happened out there in the market at these times? Was there anything at times that really caused the change in the index? And it wasn't always the case, but it was sometimes, right? So whether it was, CMS coming out and saying, we're not going to pre-screen from this age on going forward, that sometimes did have an impact on outcomes. Sometimes it wouldn't show until months later, right? Which would make sense, or maybe even years later. So the goal is really to be able to do this, retrospectively in order to validate the index itself, to say, okay, if we can go back as far as we can for a particular, as long as we have the data really, and try to map out and then overlay the policy events and really track what the impact of the policy is. And again, this is something that we envision that could last, infinitely really. It's just trying to measure policy events over time, over 5-year periods, 10-year periods, 20-year periods, and see how they worked out. So some of the advantages, and I'll just put them all up there. Again, sort of the first step is really, taking the data itself, using it to not only measure outcomes, but also manage risk, right? So it's really sort of the two-tiered component is coming up with an objective way that can quantify outcomes, help providers and patient advocacy groups and institutes really create the best practices, and then at the end of the day help, providers and patients come up with an idea of what kind of treatment they want to follow. then taking that information, using it again to make these derivatives that could be used to manage risk at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, it's really just about, you know, taking all these EMR systems and electronic medical records and leveraging them in a way that's, again, going to be helpful for patients and it's going to be helpful for investment and for payers especially. So how does it break down per stakeholder? And this is just sort of a summary of what we've come up with. So from a provider perspective, a little bit like we talked about before, you can compare local outcomes to national benchmarks to see exactly how you're doing and then try to figure out why there's a difference. From the patient advocacy groups, it can come down to, look, there's a significant disparity here in terms of healthcare. And, you know, this means that you either need to, and depending on, you know, if I go back to that slide with the chart of the, you know, the economic, humanistic, clinical, you can say, well, look, here's why there's a difference, right? So the outcomes are different at the end, but when you look at the index granularly, you can see that, look, you're not putting enough money in these neighborhoods, or that the cost of access somehow is higher, right? Whether it's because there's lack of insurance or going to emergency rooms, who knows, right, at the end of the day. So this really can direct investment at that level for the patient advocacy groups. For life science companies, again, it really comes down to, look, our product is working, right? So we can justify the cost at the end of the day. And the flip side is, well, maybe it's not, right? So the payers can say the opposite and say, your product is or isn't working, you know, whether or not they want to justify costs. And also from the life science side, it's sort of, again, guiding investment. From the investor side, really a way for them just to follow trends in healthcare, to measure where they want to put their dollars at the end of the day, and to be able to track in a meaningful way whether or not it's actually working and successful. So that's all we had. I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. And